In any case, so what Moshe is saying is a very important point. So he's saying the Shlah says, even Rabbeinu Tam, when he said you could spend your whole day just learning Bavli, he didn't mean that at all. What he meant was that instead of having set times to review, he says, once you've mastered it once, your Mikra and Mishnah, so then to spend your time in Bavli, and like Derech Agav, you'll get the review in there. So I haven't seen that Shlah, but anyways, that certainly is very consistent with what I'm trying to tell you is the sentiment of Chazal, and what all the it's clear to me, and I think it's clear to everyone that lachachila, forget b'dieved your yoltzi, lachachila doesn't make sense to make some part of your day dedicated to getting the content clear. The alternative is against the Chazal written on the other side of the daf, and just doesn't make sense. So that's the halacha, and halacha lamaisa, that's how it comes out. So yeah, I don't know why it is that you know, I was speaking with someone yesterday, just for example, 1,000 anecdotes, same anecdote 1,000 times. I was speaking to someone yesterday, the guy's in his mid-30s, like a serious Talmud Chacham, like a young, whatever, Avreich, a serious guy, like really serious. But like he's never learned Tyrus. Like I was discussing the Mishnayos and Tyrus, never even learned it yet. Like didn't even like, was off the radar. But like kind of, and like very basic dinim, like what's Tumas Medras? I don't know if that, but anyways, that's like sort of objectionable. It's like, you know, it's like analogous to saying like, I don't know, who is Loth or something. It's like pretty basic material if you're familiar with the, anyways. So the point is, that's just how the Seder has gone. I'm not here to fight any wars. You've made it to Mishnayos here, so Baruch Hashem, welcome. But it's clear the right thing, halachic thing to do, to have a Seder and Limud of Mishnayos and getting them clear. So that's what we're here to do. I brought here at the end, it's quite interesting. So the Be'er Heitev, who I'm a very big fan of, this is a different shmooze for a different time, but if you ever want to make a study in Shulchan Aruch, you want to do the short way, like the quick and dirty way, so to speak, I'd recommend just Shulchan Aruch and Be'er Heitev. Forget the Mishnah Berurah and forget Shach and Taz. I'm talking a shortcut, like the Cliff Notes. And he brings every Shach and every Taz that you got to know, pretty much, and he brings and so on. It's a great, Be'er Heitev is like a lost treasure. In any case, Be'er Heitev, who's fantastic, as I just told you, quotes an Arizal here in the very beginning, Siman Aleph of Shulchan Aruch, the very first Siman of Shulchan Aruch and Aruch Chaim. The context is talking about getting up early in the middle of the night to learn, or you know, before waking up the dawn and so on. In any case, he just quotes this Arizal, for those who like Arizals, because of Arizal, Vashir Mishnayas Kodim Makol, a Vashir, however, I translate that in English as a measure, because I just fudged it. It doesn't mean a Mishnah Shir, per se, but a measure of learning Mishnayas Kodim Lakol takes priority over everything. Like the first thing you should do in your day, your first Seder Limud should be a Mishnah Seder. V'ayidezeh Zochel Neshama. And through this, you'll be Zocha, you'll merit to Neshama. What he's referring to, the Pashas is straightforward enough. What he's referring to, that a person's spiritual, his person, the real person is his neshama, and it's tied into Hashem, and the neshama, when did I feel like I sent this recently? By me, it's intuitively true, although I never saw anyone write this explicitly, that the same way that the Torah and human beings are compared in many ways, like the barrel of a Torah, there's very, human beings are considered like Sifrei Torah in many ways, but the relationship of the guf to the Torah Shebech Sav, as opposed to the neshama, the Torah Shebech Peh, is very, to me, it's very intuitive that analogy exists. I never saw someone say it, but just because I never looked, I'm sure not my idea. In any case, the point is that your spiritual person, which is like, let's call it chelak lekamimal, a part of a connection connected to Hashem, much the same way that Hashem expressed himself in the Torah and gave it the Torah Shebechsav and Torah Shebechpeh. Also, there's a conceptual, like a spiritual component and a physical component, and the body is the physical component, and then the Shema, the spiritual, so too with the Torah. The Torah Shebechpeh is the spiritual component, so if you want to have your spiritual component intact, so then you gotta get your Mishnayos down. That's an Arizal, those Kabbalists in the room. Okay? But the Mahalakha by the Be'er Heitev. Okay, good.
I have another insight. Yeah. Look at Shmona.
There you go.
Same words.
Very good. Very good. Very good.
I said it.
The CM, I said it? Oh, okay, fine. I know. I felt like I said it recently. Okay, in any case, so that is the source sheet on the imperative to learn Torah. And with that, now I want to move on now to Mishnah proper. Still, I've given you a Hagdama to Mishnah while we learn it. Now I'm going to say what Mishnah is. Now we're going to go to the structure of the whole Mishnah, and then the Seder Zeraim, and finally the Masechta called Brachos, and then Kriya Shema. We begin tomorrow. Bring your Mishnah tomorrow, Bez Hashem. We'll be in the text already at home. Okay, so let's talk about Mishnah as a structurally, what Mishnah is. So the Mishnah we said before is this codification of some sort of formalization of the principles given at Torah. And according to the Rambam, in many ways, like I showed you yesterday, Reb Yehuda Nasi put the Mishnayos, this concept, into a particular order. The order is the largest structure are called Sedarim. I should have said this on day one. I'm aware that pretty much everyone knows what I'm saying now. I can't help that. The way I approach every Mishnah throughout the whole of the next 5 years, Bez Hashem, if you don't like it, that's fine, but that's not going to be, so you can find it. That's fine. Another place that makes sense to you is that I'm assuming that no one knows anything, essentially, but everyone is very intelligent. And so I'll just say it, and I'll lay it on the table, and I know 90% of people know it already, but I just feel that's the only way to do it, so that, because everyone will be part of the 10% at some point, and you'll be happy that these gaps are filled in. So I'm doing that for everyone, and that's it. If you feel insulted, I'm sorry. If it's not for you, so it's not for you. You pass this year. But in any case, so the Mishnah is divided into six Sedarim. We saw the word Seder before, so six orders translated out, really. The truth is, even in English, it makes something. Like, you know, when like Linnaeus, when he did his like taxonomy, you know, that for the animal kingdom. So remember, kings play chess on funny green stools. If that rings a bell to you. That was the whole animal. All of life is divided into kingdoms, and then phyla, and then classes, and then orders. If that rings a bell to you. So, anyways, so classes would be like. Yeah, so it's like kingdom, it doesn't matter. It's like, yeah, kingdom would be like animals, and then phyla would be, let's say, vertebrates, and then play chess. Class would be, let's say, mammals, and then orders might be, there's a few, whatever, let's say primates is one of the orders of mammals. So it's, even in English, an order is like a category. In any case, so Sedarim. So six orders, they're the mnemonic for it is Zman Nakat, which just stands for the six orders there.
But if you have a Kahati Mishnayos, he did a nice job. The new Kahati is with Bar Tzibura. Yeah, the new one, the Bar Tzibura, actually have it like our. He laid it out. He actually wrote this cutesy Mishnayos, the six characters, and he wrote Zoran Moed Noshim, the six orders there. Then on the first page of every thing, he lays out these are the six orders, and then contents of them sectors. So that's nice. And this happens to be the last 10 sentences. In any case.
But here it is. The mnemonic to memorize it is Zman Nakat. I kind of like that. The reason why it's quite a nice is because Zman means time and Nakat means sort of like seize. So it's quite a
time to seize.
Yeah, so like, you know, like Carpe Diem type, the Jewish version of Carpe Diem, really. Manakat, grab, don't let your time get away from you. That's a mnemonic to remember. It's Zmanim, which is
Destroy you.
Hello, thank you. Sorry. Thank you. Zerayim, which is literally means seeds, it's agricultural. Mm-hmm. Literally means seeds. That means it's agricultural. And brachos is in there too, but it's okay. We'll get there. Moed, which means the word moed is an interesting word. But I'll say it for a second. It's worth seeing this for a second. The word moed is a double entendre. It either means like the ohel moed, like the tent of meeting. It's like a meeting place, like a nexus in time, right? Or like a vad. So that's the pashas of where it's actually coming from. So the point is, it's a nexus in time where you meet. I don't speak this so much now, but Jewish notion of time is sort of like a cyclical spiral, right? So every year you come back to the same. I remember one of my favorite, when I was starting, when I was in London, I used to do the same lecture every year about Pesach, and I used to say, the year is, you know, Tafshinayim Fest, and the Exodus of Egypt was so-and-so, like how many Pesachs have there been? And the answer is just one. You just come back to it again and again. Right? That's what conceptual is happening. I don't want to discuss that more now. Topic at moment. It means like place and time, something like that. Like there was times. And these are the I'll call this the also called Lutheran holidays. It doesn't make sense. It's more than that. It's like
there's a Hagim.
It's I'll then I'll call the calendar. It's holidays too.
Calendar.
Calendar. Or, you know, liturgical events. This includes
obviously, what includes Shabbos, includes Erevin, which is just a subset of Shabbos, if you will. And then, yes, there's Rosh Hashanah and Sukkah and Pesach. In any case, okay, more later. So the nun here is Nashim, which means women. We'll call this, loosely speaking, marital law. Okay, when you see the contents, you'll see it's hard to box these things in because you've got like Nazir in here and okay, too much. But anyway, again, Nashim, that's the general gist of getting Yevamos, Kedushin, are here. So that's counted. Then this is the Zikin, which means damages. This is like a civil law bullet. Something's called torts. Okay, we'll get there. Kachim. Holy things. Holy things. It's the base of Mikdash and then Korbanos. Mikdash. Offering. Korbanos. And all their, like, and all these things. All Me'ilas in there. Midos are in there. And finally, Taharos.
Yes.
Taharos.
Right.
Yeah, for lack of a better translation. But it doesn't matter. I don't know a better one. Which is, what it really has to do with is Tuma. It's called Taharos for politeness. Like, what it really has to do with this spiritual slash legal phenomenon called Tuma, and how where it's sourced and how it has transferred. That's really the topic. It's a big topic. In any case, Taharos, how Tuma, and I guess an effecting Tara, in fairness. There is, in fact, Tara, and it's also there. Getting the tumor to go away. I can't, it's too much. It's too.
Just go through the map for a minute.
Yeah, I could, obviously, we could speak about any of these things for a long, long time. I just want to move on. I don't get bogged down here. There's no
way. We're going to be speaking about it for 5 years.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, because this is the structure, the Zman Makat, that you should remember. Interestingly, so this is Rebbe's innovation. Subconscious, this structure. There is a Gemara in Shabbos, Lamed Aleph, which darshens a particular pasuk from Yeshaya, from Isaiah, and sort of gives a bit more color into like how Chazal saw the significance of these things. So the pasuk is called the Emunas Itata. I can't get too complicated, but Emunas is the first word. Emuna is like faithfulness, which it's Emunas Itata, also Yeshua's Kapam Vadas. Whatever those things mean, I don't get to them all now. I think it's all another day to do otherwise. But emuna, first, is faith. The faithfulness is understood to be sort of the spirit, the theme of Zeroyim. And the basic idea is, and I'll set aside process for a second, is you got to get your mind back to being a farmer once upon a time. So that was your livelihood, and of course we depended upon the all sorts of circumstances beyond your control. And on top of that, you're forced to leave things fallow and shvias and give things away and so on and so forth. All expressions of faith, and that's really where the real battle for Emunah is in a person's parnasa. And so that's really where we're in Zeroyim. And the lead Masechta, which is our Masechta, is Brachos.
It says Ani Hashem. Right. On the Zeroyim Pasuk, it says Ani Hashem.
On the Zeroyim Pasuk, it says
Leke Ketzircho Lo Solake.
Oh, I see. So yeah, so Zeroyim, gosh, I don't embarrass myself.
Zeroyim has 11 Masechtas. I'll just read them. I'll just tell them to you briefly. Brachos is our Masechta. I'll get back to in a second. Peah, which is like essentially, Peah deals with all of the gifts to poor people. Peah is the corner before you leave, but things like Leket and Shichra are there also. Damai is dubiously tied. Stuff, it's too complicated to get into one there right now. I don't want to now. Kilaim are forbidden mixtures. There's like 8 mitzvahs in the Torah with forbidden mixtures. So kilaim includes the shatnas, but the heart of the Masechta has to do with klai zroim and klai akerim, not planting grains and greens together, stuff like that. Yeah, okay. Shvias is shmita, which has got to do with a few things, right? The laying of the land, as letting land be fallow, and the rules are there, as well as the release of debt. At the end, but fine. Trumos has to do with the tithing for Kohanim. More later, if you're not familiar. Maestris is the tithe to Levium. Maestris Sheni is the tithe that you take to Jerusalem. really tie it to yourself. And every more, we'll get there. Either you know what, you don't know it, but if you don't know it, it's not for now. Challah is a separation of dough that one gives the Kohanim. Orla is the prohibition to harvest fruits and trees the first 3 years. And Bikurim are your first fruits from Yeshivat Aminim that you bring to the Beis HaMikdash and rejoice before Hashem. Each of the things has, of course, I want to get to the Mishnah tomorrow, so I'm not elaborating. Okay, but either you know this material and you see the structure, or you don't, we will get there in good time, as the Hashem. In any case, brachos. So we're in brachos. So brachos is the first of them. The word bracha, which we're talking about for a second, means blessing, of course, but it really is etymologically it's referring to like ribui, like an expansiveness.
Brecha.
Yes. I'm going to leave the topic. Okay. Let me now. Masechta is divided into four different topics. Okay. Three main topics. There's Kriyashma, the first three prakim. Then there's Tfila, the next two prakim. And the last four prakim, for a total of nine, deal with brachos proper. First three of those four are Birchas Hananin, eating, and Birchas Hamazon and Zimun. And then the last one is Birchas Hoda, brachas on lightning and thunder and Shefiyan and stuff like that. So I'll save my a more expansive discussion of what a bracha is and what Baruch Ata means, all that kind of stuff, for the sake of like the sixth parak when we get there. This introduction material. But the structure of brachas do get down. You basically have the first three prakim are Kriya Shema. For now, which is going to be our topic for the next couple of weeks, whatever, a bit. Then four and five is tefillah, prayer, how you pray, when you pray, where you pray, and so on. Six to eight, we'll call this, six to nine is brachos in general, proper, but then we'll have that subset. So six to eight is birkas,
enjoying.
Benefit. It's basically food. It's basically brachas on food and benching. That's really well down to.
Nine.
And finally, this is birkas hodaa. Blessings of thanks. Yeah, well, things like Shefiyana and Tova Meir. So these are three topics.
Okay.
So we're going to be focused on Kriya Shema. Sorry, tomorrow. But... Kriya Shema, everyone knows what it is. It is what it is. It's the reciting of these three paragraphs twice a day, morning and night, at least. There's an interesting question why like that was shoved to the fore, especially if it's Maseches Brachos. You might think, well, let's talk about Brachos proper first, if that's what we're going to get to. The reasons given are various. They all dance from the same basic idea, which is worth noting. The way the Rambam writes it, which is a little controversial if you think about it, is that Kriya Shema is the only mitzvah that every person does every day of their life. You can ask Kashas all right away. The Rambam himself rules that tefillah is something you have to do every day of your life. There's the famous Berhetiv that links to the Sheish Mitzvah Tamidius. There's a mitzvah to love Hashem that goes on every instant of your life and knowing Hashem exists and not having other gods besides Him. So these Sheish Mitzvah Tamidius are, of course, are all the time. I would answer those questions begadol by answering other people explain that Shema comes first because the beginning point is Yichud Hashem. Everything starts with there is Hashem and He is one and that's what governs everything. So that's a natural place. That's the beginning of Kol Torah Kula. And hence becomes the mitzvah you have to do every day because it's so central, morning and night and so on. And really, in the reciting of the Kriya Shema, you hit those other mitzvahs. The mitzvah for loving Hashem and fearing Hashem and knowing He's one. Knowing Hashem exists and not having other gods before Him, as well as Lo Sasuru, not falling after eyes and heart, those six mitzvahs to medias are in the Kriya Shema. So that's the content. There's a mitzvah to say it, but the content of the Kriya Shema, which is supposed to internalize, are those very mitzvahs. So it's obvious that that's where to me it's obvious. Forget any like legal and technical reasons for bringing it to the front. The Kriya Shema is like the first thing you essentially teach your kid, so to speak, the first thing you teach your kid when he's born, so to speak, and the last thing you say when you die, and the first thing you say in the morning, last thing at night, conceptually, and everything else. So the point is Kriya Shema is like where it's at. Yichud Hashem is what it's all about. Everything else, sort of the details, if you will. So it's obvious why Kriya Shema belongs in the front, and if you ask me. And the fact that it's true that it's the mitzvah you have to do twice a day in the first mitzvah, you're doing your bar mitzvah and all these kind of things. It's because Hashem arranged it that since being mindful that Hashem is what is all that really matters is brought to the fore through this mitzvah of saying Hashem Achad and so on. So that, they're one and the same. There's no real machlokas conceptually, I don't think. In any case, so Kriya Shema becomes the mitzvah. There are, the mitzvah to say Kriya Shema and what it includes is a big tumult. I'll bottom line it today if you don't, maybe I'll trace back a little more details tomorrow. The pashas is, conventional halacha is that the first two paragraphs are obligatory midoraisa. Those two paragraphs, we call paragraphs, mention saying these words. So it's understood that the words they're supposed to say are these words, and they're obligatory. The third paragraph, tomorrow, you know what I know, but tomorrow we'll bring a sitter, we'll look at it inside. The third paragraph is rabbinic in nature, pretty much. Everyone agrees to that, and it's included because of the Los Asuru, and they're remembering Yitzis Mitzrayim, and so on and so forth. But the technical deraisa, lechora, is saying those two paragraphs, morning and night. The last thing I'll say for today is, this will become tomorrow's shiur now, the pasuk that mandates the saying of the Torah, of Kriya Shema, says, b'shach b'cha uvukumecha, in your lying down and in your getting up. Okay? So that becomes the twice a day where you say the Kriya Shema, these words, hadvar ma'ela, of the Kriya Shema. So tomorrow, the first mishnah is exploring what uvashach b'cha means, etc. So that's what we'll pick up tomorrow, Bez Hashem. And so bring your mishnayas. Say we're done, bring your mishnayas. And it doesn't matter. I don't care which mishnah you bring, with English, without English, doesn't matter. But bring a brachos, that's not a brachos. Bring a brachos, the beginning of the rhyme, so you have a text inside. Tomorrow, Bez Hashem, we will already dive into the first mishnah.